XCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump has big plans for the Middle East.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it.
And develop it, he says, into a luxury resort area.
I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be a wise guy. But the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad. This could be so magnificent.
Mr. Trump made his remarks during a news conference with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House. Aaron David Miller is a former Middle East negotiator for the State Department.
He's going to basically declare Gaza to be an area of American influence. Why wouldn't President Xi or Putin revel in that fact with respect to their territorial ambition?
I'm Cammy McCormick. This man in Gaza's Khan Yunis says he's not leaving and the people there shouldn't be kicked out under the pretext of rebuilding. A Hamas official says Trump's statements only add fuel to the fire. A member of Jordan's parliament said it would be a violation of international law. Jordan is a key ally in the region.
CBS News has learned the FBI met yesterday's deadline to turn over a list of thousands of employees who helped investigate the January 6th attack at the bequest of the Trump administration. Some have gone to court. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
In a pair of lawsuits, FBI agents and employees who remain anonymous argue that this list is a violation of privacy, of due rights, and a security threat.
President Trump is expected to sign an executive order this afternoon to prevent trans people who were biologically male at birth from participating in girls' and women's sporting events in school. In California, officials at Children's Hospital Los Angeles say they need more time to assess Mr. Trump's order from last week targeting gender-affirming care for young people. For now, they're pausing initiation of hormonal therapy for patients under the age of 19. An investigation's underway into a mass shooting at a warehouse in New Albany, Ohio last night, owned by a company that makes cosmetics and toiletries. Police Chief Greg Jones.
At this point, we have one confirmed fatality. We have five that were transported to the hospital.
Police believe it was a targeted attack. The chief says they've identified a suspect but haven't made an arrest. To make waffles, you need eggs. With prices soaring, Waffle House will charge patrons a 50-cent surcharge per egg. Diana Hunter eats at a location in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I've heard the explanation for what's going on. You know, the bird flu. It's going to hit us all. It's hitting the restaurant owner, and it's going to hit the customer that's got to eat there.
S&P futures down 28. This is CBS News.
Nothing makes a gathering great like Eggland's Best eggs. They're just so delicious, with better nutrition, too. For us, it's eggs any style, as long as they're the best. Eggland's Best.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news roundup in a quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com.
Marquette with another loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 11th-ranked Marquette Golden Eagles losing to St. John's 70-64 at Madison Square Garden. It's the first time the Red Storm have beat a top 15th-ranked team in 34 years. Head coach Shaka Smart after the loss.
You know, you get in these Big East wars, and there's a level of experience that you gain from wins, and there's experience that you gain from losses. It's, unfortunately, you need both.
The Badgers with a win at home over Indiana, 76-64. Wisconsin finding a way to slow down Hoosier center Umar Ballo, Max Klesmet.
That was part of the game plan was Ballo. The last five games have been averaging about 36, 37 minutes. So we knew a way to kind of tap into his legs was playing at a faster clip. I think the guys did a good job preparing for this one.
And we've learned Wisconsin is losing their player personnel director to another team in the Big Ten. Max Steiner, who came to Wisconsin with Luke Fickell, is the new executive director for personnel for the USC Trojans. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A new reboot is on the way, which is not a surprise, as Hollywood seems determined to remake everything it's ever done. This time, it's a new iteration of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Star of the original, Sarah Michelle Gellar, will be part of the cast, but not the central focus. This is the second attempt at a reboot. One in 2018 did not quite make it to the little screen. When and if the show drops, it will premiere on Hulu. During a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, actress Nicole Kidman told the host about her favorite keepsake, the handwritten lyrics to Elton John's famous song, Your Song. Kidman was one of the stars of Moulin Rouge, in which the song was featured and sang by Ewan McGregor. Your Song has been covered many times over the years. Great tune. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have some snow on the way this afternoon and tonight, 1 to 3 inches possible by the time it all winds down late tonight. Then tomorrow it will be windy with some areas of blowing snow. Today, cloudy with snow developing this afternoon, 25, snow tonight down to 20, windy blowing snow, 27 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, why did Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel use AI to digitally alter a photo of his opponent Susan Crawford to make her look ashamed? If he wants to see shame, he should look in the mirror. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, and brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Wednesday morning, February 5th. It's nice to have you along. We've got meteorologist Brittany Merlot and her forecast coming up in just a bit. Right after that, we jump right into a conversation live with Jeff Wright, one of the candidates for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. And then at 7:30, we will talk to Congressman Mark Pocan and visit with Todd Alba before we wrap things up for this hour on a Wednesday morning. But first, let me tell you that in-person absentee voting is now available for the February 18th primary. You get that at your local clerk's office. Go to myvote.wi.gov for ballot information, voting information, registration information, and more. Because, again, we've got that primary on the February 18th for Superintendent of Public Instruction. And also, there may be local primaries in your area as well. So head to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about that. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, and get yourself that daily newsletter and also our new weekend edition, which has a more political theme as we follow the state budget debate and the first 100 days of the Trump administration. Looking at the mailbag here, we see from Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 1 degree below zero. I wish the very best meteorologist in Wisconsin, Brittany, a very happy National Weather Person's Day. Thank you for all you do. And from Mary on YouTube, happy National Weather Person's Day, Brittany. Actually hoping for some snow this week. Winter in Wisconsin isn't what it used to be. Well, this is a win-win. We give Brittany some love, and she gives us some snow. Brittany, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much, Rob, Mary, all of you. I appreciate it. And yes, your gift is some snow. The winter princess loves it. I'm so excited.
Oh, look at this. The snow queen is happy and Rob's happy. They're grooming the snowmobile trails that could be opening this weekend. So you're just got all kinds of good news for the winter lovers.
I sure do. Yeah. It looks like Oneida County trails, all of those that are in the snowmobile clubs will be open on Friday. I know that Nine Mile County Trail, different ski clubs are opening up as well. And we've got a dose of snow tonight and another on Saturday. So here's what we have going on. Temperatures this morning are ranging all the way from 9 below into Antigo, where the skies are clear and you're allowed to get that cold. Otherwise, into Kenosha, you're sitting in the upper 20s right now with cloudy skies. And all of those clouds down south along the state line are going to be lifting north through the state today. So becoming cloudy no matter where you are, and that system moving in probably after 6 o'clock. So some snow starting in the evening, continuing to lift north and continuing through the overnight. The Northwoods looks to get a good 2 to 3 inches. Elsewhere, though, we're really looking at under an inch through this evening and overnight, because temperatures are going to be warming and we're actually looking at a wintry mix with freezing rain and potentially some ice accumulations, especially south along the state line. But that ice potential is anywhere from Wisconsin Dells into Madison, Milwaukee, and south. So keep an eye out for that, mainly after 9 o'clock tonight. So thankfully, it's through those overnight hours, but we could still see some slippery spots early tomorrow morning, and then things get windy. So highs today in the low 20s up north to low 30s down south, and tomorrow will go about 5 degrees warmer.
Okay, and then prep for the weekend.
Yes, Saturday. I'm so excited. Looks like a good amount of snow, widespread, maybe 2 to 5 inches.
All right, Brittany, thank you very much. Look at that. You made some people so happy.
Great.
Others are just going to hunker down. Oh, wait, that was a sarcastic happy. Okay, never mind. I know.
You don't get a shoulder dance now. All right.
Thank you, Brittany.
Have a good day.
All right. We'll see you a little later. Let's see. In sports real quick here, we had the Badger men's basketball team continuing their dominance at home over Indiana with a win 76-64. Meanwhile, the Marquette men's basketball team ranked 11th in the nation, fell to the 12th-ranked team, St. John's, 70-64. Our question of the day started out with your thoughts on the NFL saying it will remove the end racism banner from the end zone for the Super Bowl, knowing that President Trump was going to be attending. Adam writes in on YouTube, NFL players should band together to bring back a sign of solidarity during the Super Bowl to protest removing the end racism, similar to the kneel for Colin Kaepernick. And Mary writes in, I think it's ridiculous to remove end racism to appeal to any leader. If we are truly a free country, this should not even be a topic we need to discuss. So, Mary, thank you for that. The rest of you can put your comments on Facebook or YouTube, or, of course, you can call or text the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. All right. Again, there is a primary election that's coming up on February 18th. And that will feature the state superintendent of public instruction, Jill Underley, and two challengers. The top two vote getters will advance to the general election on April 1st. And one of those challengers joins us now. He is the superintendent in the Sauk Prairie School District, Jeff Wright. Jeff, good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah,
thanks for having me on.
We appreciate your time very much. Let's just start very generally about first a bit about you, and then we'll get into the decision to run. But tell us about what you currently do at Sauk Prairie and your path to get there.
I'd be glad to. Right now, as you mentioned, I'm the superintendent in the Sauk Prairie School District, which is just northwest of Madison, kind of spreading that rural divide between Sauk County and Columbia County and parts of Dane County. Prior to returning home to Wisconsin to work here in Sauk Prairie, where I've been for 13 years, I was a high school principal on the south side of Chicago, which was a phenomenal experience for me. And I learned so much about what I believe about education and the work that we get to do with students. I was in grad school prior to that, and I was a teacher also. But my story really begins in Stevens Point, where I grew up on School Street. My parents were both teachers, and they're the ones that initially inspired my desire to be an educator. I thought they were celebrities in town because everybody knew who Tim and Betty were as we went to the grocery store or around the community. I was excited about the work that they got to do, and that brought me to being a teacher, then a principal, and now a superintendent. And hopefully in a few months to become our 29th state superintendent here in Wisconsin.
Well, and let's make clear, teachers deserve to be celebrities, should be celebrities, and should be more so. The current political climate makes that a little difficult at times, but there's very much a lot of advocacy on this program for making educators our celebrities. You also received a pretty high honor for your work as superintendent.
I did. This past fall, the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance named me the Administrator of the Year, and I think what I get to bring uniquely into this job, Pat, is that I've been a principal in a high school in one of our largest cities in the country, but I've also been recognized for my work leading rural schools back home here in Wisconsin. I not only received that award because of the growth we're seeing with our students, but also because we've partnered our school district with our community to solve some larger community problems. We've done a lot of work on advancing our workforce innovation here in the community, expanding programming for medical careers classes and certification that not only our students get to take, but adults in the community also get to come and take these classes through Madison College at our high school, and advanced manufacturing and ag. We've also partnered with our business community to break ground on a new childcare center, trying to meet that need that is present in so many communities across Wisconsin to make sure that there's access to quality childcare for our young families. And we've also really done a lot of work on mental health and partnering with the U.S. Department of Education to reimagine how we provide mental health services to students and to families in crisis. And for that work, my team and yes, I was honored by the Wisconsin Rural Schools Alliance, and I appreciate that honor and just celebrating the work that we get to do as community leaders who know that when our schools thrive, our communities thrive too.
Well, I'm going to say to you what I've said to many other people, myself included. Life sounds pretty good. Why would you want to ruin all that running for office? but I did. Other people have. You are as well deciding to run for state superintendent of public instruction, which as a challenger gets us into not just what you've done, but, you know, any compare and contrast with the reasons why you think voters should want to make a change. So let's get into what led to your decision to run for state superintendent.
Well, it certainly is one of the most important jobs, and supporting our schools so that we can best support our students is something that inspires me to do this work and to take this leap, even if it, yes, this does disrupt the life of myself, my wife, and our sixth and eighth grade children. But it's also really, really essential work, and the administrators across the state and many of the teacher groups have been looking for somebody else to lead the Department of Public Instruction for well over 2 years. They're frustrated with things that are happening there and the broken relationship that exists between the department and the legislature and the department in many of our schools. And so I think that that's part of what led the Association of Wisconsin School Administrators, which is like the group of the principals, the deans of students, and many superintendents, to endorse my candidacy several weeks ago, knowing that our state schools and our Department of Public Instruction need to be leaders, need to be asking the hard questions about the work that we're doing, about achievement gaps in our state, looking for ways that we can innovate for our kids. And so, yes, it's a disruption to my life, but I believe so much in public education and the important work that we get to do with our communities. I'm grateful for the support of so many of my administrative and teacher colleagues to take this leap. And I hope that on February 18th that I get the votes of your listeners so that I can advance through the primary and become our next state superintendent.
All right. Well, what we'll do then is we'll pause here because we've got a commercial break coming up shortly, and I don't want to shortchange more of your answer as far as deciding to run, what you would do differently, things like that. So, again, we're talking to Jeff Wright. He's the superintendent in the Sauk Prairie School District, and he is a candidate for state superintendent of public instruction, and we'll talk to him more in just a bit. Let me tell you first, though, that in-person absentee voting is now available at your local clerk's office. For that election, go to myvote.wi.gov for ballot and voting and registration information. Now, you may have heard quite a bit about an election for state Supreme Court. Yes, but there is not a primary for that one because there are only the two candidates, Dane County Judge Susan Crawford and Waukesha County Judge and former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel. They will be facing off on April 1st. But again, there's a primary for the state superintendent's race, and there may be a local primary as well. So head to myvote.wi.gov to learn more about that. And then in the second half hour here, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan about the ongoing Trump transition, some of the shiny objects from some of the new president's more bombastic proposals, including one that he made last night, that the U.S. should somehow take over and occupy Gaza in the Middle East. I'm sure the congressman has some things to say about that. But we will get back to our conversation with Superintendent Jeff Wright, candidate for state superintendent of public instruction, in just 2 minutes. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from, with $10 million in updates.
Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Sarah Evans has a birthday today. This is Up North News Radio at 7:21. Let me check the text line here. First off, Robin Tigerton, I want to let you know we did get the picture. You texted us a photo of a beautiful sunrise in the town of Germania, and I will get that on a slide soon so that folks watching on social media can see that during the commercial breaks as well. Dana from La Crosse, I missed this one earlier where he says, what the heck is going on? The administration is letting hacker punks have access to everybody's vital information. How is this tolerable? This, of course, is about Elon Musk and a band of, shall we say, minions that now have access to some of our most sensitive information in government databases. And later, we'll discuss maybe with Todd Alba, Dave's comment from New Berlin, why is Toto not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? We talked about Toto during today's history lesson. You can hear that every morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Let's get back to our conversation with Jeff Wright. He's a candidate for state superintendent of public instruction. Before the break, he gave us a lot of biographical information and wanted to talk a bit about his decision to run. But in doing so, it does lead, this race is not unlike some races, say, for judges and justices, where the differences aren't always that cut and dry. There are areas, I sense, where you and the current superintendent, where you may share positions, but you may not necessarily share management style or ways that you would be an advocate for education as opposed to how Dr. Underley would do it. And so I'm not asking you for attack ads. I'm simply asking, people are looking that there's a current superintendent. Where do you have common ground? And then where do you differ that you feel voters should find you to be the better choice?
Pat, I think you're right. And I don't want this to be a campaign that is all about negative things that make us so different. We do agree on many things. I think we do want many of the same things for kids. I think part of this is about the urgency with which we get to do this important work and how we would lead the department. An example that I would share that has been part of what I've heard from administrators across the state is that our current state superintendent took this position when our current high school seniors were freshmen in high school. So she's had a whole high school career basically of time to do this work. And the department is still editing and revising and creating a strategic plan. Like, what is the work that we're doing? Well, I don't think that most people in Wisconsin would take 4 years to determine what is the most important work. When you look at the achievement gaps that we have in our state, when you look at the desperate need to make sure that all students have access to registered apprenticeships and job opportunities while they're in high school to learn what they're going to do after high school. When you look at our teacher shortage that is affecting so many districts across the state, we used to get 50, 60, 100 applications for a lot of jobs. And now some districts are only getting a handful, if that. So I think part of this is that there are so many urgent issues that need to be addressed by our state superintendent and the department that this superintendent gets to lead. And to have a lot of this work in pause during the last 3.5 years has frustrated a lot of people, not only within the department, but also in the schools. And I think that that's what drove the Administrators Association to look for change and to endorse an outside candidate instead of the incumbent. And that's one of the biggest differences I think that you're going to see in the leadership that I hope to bring to the department. I also hope to restore a working relationship with our legislature. We're never going to solve our school funding formula problems in Wisconsin if we're not sitting at the same table trying to get this work done and stop this over-reliance on local property taxes and referendum after referendum after referendum to fund our schools.
Jeff Wright is a candidate for state superintendent of public instruction in a primary 2 weeks from yesterday. If you want to learn more about where to vote, go to myvote.wi.gov. In terms of that relationship with the legislature, I appreciate your optimism on that front. I've been watching, having been a part of that legislature, and watching the reaction. And I wish anybody luck with trying to work with the Republican majority. But I think that what a lot of voters also want to see right now is essentially a fighter for public education. It feels like public education is getting its lunch money stolen by, you know, a voucher school system that is exploding in growth. And so I know that on the comment line already, in one of the comment sections, I got a note saying, I want to put it up here so I can get it up on screen. Oh, yeah, here it is. I would like to hear more about Jeff Wright's stance on school vouchers. So in terms of the way this current legislature has been very supportive of that program at the expense of public schools, where do you come down on that?
Well, I agree with what you just said. And I think one of the worst parts of our current voucher program is that it is funded in about the least transparent way possible. There are so many local property taxpayers who have no idea, unfortunately, that it's the voucher tax is hidden within the amount of money generated for local public schools on a property tax bill. And if you look at your property tax bill, you can see how much that's going to your technical college system or your county government. You don't see how much you're paying for the voucher program, but there are taxpayers across the whole state in school districts that are paying hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars into this system. And it looks like that money is going to your local public schools, and it's not. And so that lack of transparency is sneaky. We need to fix that. We also, if schools are going to take public money, we need to hold them accountable. I know of a student who was expelled from a voucher school after they received the payment to serve that kid. And the reason that the student was expelled, the number one reason, was poor handwriting. I mean, that's unacceptable. It's unfair to the student. Now, fortunately, that student was accepted by a public school district right away to make sure that the student was receiving an education. But the dollars stayed with the voucher program while the public school got to serve the student. And it's right that we're serving that student, but that system is showing that the accountability is not there to make sure that we're holding all schools accountable if they're taking public money and serving Wisconsin kids.
Jeff, I've got less than a minute, and I apologize for asking for a very short answer over the controversy about standardized tests, test scores, labels. Is this something that is a significant issue, or is this just something that is passing and can be easily dealt with by whoever is the next state superintendent?
My short answer is that the timing was terrible and that we are just coming out of the pandemic. Schools need to know year after year whether or not the interventions we put in place to help kids address learning loss, if those interventions and supports were working. And so just as we were getting like the 3-year finish line to see if we made that progress to have the finish line change, it was really hard for schools, for teachers, and for families to know whether or not their child had fully recovered from the pandemic. And so the timing was terrible and the communication was really hard too. And that's what we heard the criticism of our governor.
Jeff Wright is a candidate for state superintendent. Jeff, we really appreciate your time. Thank you for visiting with us today.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You as well. Back, Congressman Mark Pocan will join us. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Old Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Well, today in Wisconsin, we could see rain, we could see sleet, we could see snow. And while it may not stop postal service, it does make forecasting a challenge. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. That's why the National Weather Service, along with our Wisconsin weather networks, are working on a MesoNet. That's a network of automated weather and soil, as well as environmental monitoring stations all across the state to try to help with that forecasting. Chris Kasharik, who is one of the people involved in launching the project and a professor in plant and agroecosystem sciences, explains a little more.
There's about 38 states in the U.S. that have MesoNet, so it's not like we're doing something that's unique or but desperately needed. So we collect a suite of meteorological variables. That's temperature, precipitation, wind speed, sunlight, solar radiation, humidity or dew point, and leaf wetness. And then in the soil, we're also collecting soil temperature and moisture at 5 depths down to about 3 feet below the surface. And that's happening about every 5 minutes. So these are located on farms, public land, at our agricultural research stations.
That's Chris Kasharik describing Wisconsin's MesoNet that's in development now. He's a professor in plant and agroecosystems. He said some of the data that they're generating is used to help agriculture, for example, develop insect pressure models for commodities.
If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Gerbitz at cow-corner.co.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BIOVET1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences has announced that they are launching their PhD program in science communication. It's the first of its kind in the country, offering students the opportunity to become leaders in the science of science communication. The first group of students begins the program this fall. That's a look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have some snow on the way this afternoon and tonight, 1 to 3 inches possible by the time it all winds down late tonight. Then tomorrow, it will be windy with some areas of blowing snow. Today, cloudy with snow developing this afternoon, 25. Snow tonight down to 20. Windy blowing snow, 27 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 1 above.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, did you know politicians think about what they're going to make for their Super Bowl parties just like we do? Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Melissa Radcliffe. We talk Super Bowl and some politics. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
On the birthdays today, Chris Barron from Spin Doctors is 57 years old today. We should be joined shortly by Congressman Mark Pocan. Let me get to the mailbag first on the text line. And we would have loved a little bit more time with Jill Underley and also with Jeff Righteous now. We still have a message out for Brittany Kinzer that you know she can join us at some point, but we have not yet heard back. So let's see. I was clearing off my spindle here because there were some notes about it. Let's see. First from Tony. Is Superintendent Underley just trying to figure out what the Republican Assembly and Robin Voss will let get through? I think she would have been able to do a lot more if it was up to her. And that's kind of the point that I was making, is that the state superintendent, again, can't do much without a legislature that wants to work with him or her. And so lacking that, are you working to get along with the majority party, as hostile as they are? Or are you the loudest advocate possible, even if things aren't going to break your way under the Capitol Dome? And it's really not that much different than what we got after the presidential election, of some people saying there's just too much divisiveness, we need to work with each other, and others on the Democratic side going, no, we're tired of this, you know, being conciliatory. We've got principles, we're going to stand for them, we're going to dig in. That's not being divisive, that's fighting for what's right. And I think you see a bit of a microcosm of that in the superintendent race, but we also got a comment saying that they love the idea of transparency because our voucher system in Wisconsin is broken. Another one, Ardith from Facebook, with the Republican majority in the legislature, they will not spend the money already allocated for education, vote out all Republicans, or it won't make a difference in the superintendent race. Just don't elect one who supports school vouchers. And I would like to ask Brittany Kinzer about that, as somebody who's been a charter and voucher school advocate over time, on her feelings on what I guess she would say is a more well-rounded series of school choices that are out there. And you can learn more about Brittany Kinzer online. And if she comes through the primary, we'll obviously talk a bit more about her as well, whatever the two candidates are that come in. All right. Oh, there we go. Now I hear the phone a ringing over here. And with it, we'll be bringing in Congressman Mark Pocan, who's getting set up. And let me recommend, while he gets set up, I was about to tell you that Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area has a new article out all about what he calls the wrestling Republicans that are out there. And really, it's that wrestling mentality that helped them win the elections, because they focused on getting attention by any means possible. And so Dan Shaver's article, Donald Trump and the Rise of the Pro Wrestling Republicans, you can find through Civic Media and through the Recombobulation Area. Congressman Mark Pocan joins us now to talk more about this Trump transition, as it were. Congressman, how are you?
I'm good. Sorry, I'm on my phone. Apparently, Apple did updates, and since the work computer and the personal, I'm here via phone.
we've all been there. I've actually gotten to the point now where I set an alarm for every Sunday evening, Monday morning, for Google to log out and log back in, because I'm all the time getting kicked out, and it's like 2 minutes to air and you're like, nope, we need to know it's you. Please put your password back in. And it's just, it never happens at an opportune time.
The office probably could figure this out, but I'm figuring it out this morning. And unfortunately, I am not the most technologically astute, but I can't blame Elon Musk for this. But I think we can blame Elon Musk for pretty much everything else.
Oh, my God. We can do a lot of that. And look, I've talked a bit about this new thing that President Trump said last night, about the U.S. should basically take over Gaza, you know, turn it into another Riviera, and relocate 2 million Palestinians. And I've given the precaution already, but I'm going to say it again, that this is one of those shiny object things, when there are substantive things that can impact our day-to-day lives here. But I do want to get your take, and I'm going to give it in the most biased way possible so that people know exactly how I feel about this. Dumb idea. Or dumbest idea ever, to try to put U.S. troops to hold ground in the Middle East, because I remember Lebanon in 1986.
Yeah. No, this is, I mean, I'm going to put this hopefully in the category of we're going to invade Greenland, we're going to acquire Canada to be the 51st state, and some of the other ideas. The last time Trump was president, about 90% of what he said never became reality. This time, I think it's going to be about 75%, but we still have to figure out the 25%. Right now, I know what it's going to be. I think today they're going to have a directive that's going to start tearing apart the Department of Education. We've watched what he did to the USAID. We're watching what they're doing agency by agency. And those are real things because he has to cut and find $4 trillion over the next 10 years to give the tax break to Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg. So Elon Musk is doing his best to find his tax break. And he has no idea what he's doing because he doesn't understand the federal government. But those are the things that I'm focused on because I think they're the most real, because I know at the end of the day, the people who can join Mar-a-Lago are the ones that Donald Trump listens to, and they're the ones who want the big share of the tax break. And some of these other things, as awful and stupid and embarrassing as they are to hear from the president, I got to focus on the real.
Exactly. And, you know, the real is that USAID does life-saving work every day all around the world, is also, you know, working on behalf of democracies, something Elon Musk has proven that he is hostile toward. But it is also low-hanging fruit, like you said, to help pay for another, you know, millionaire's tax cut that's going to be coming through. But what, in your estimation, whether it's USAID or the U.S. Department of Education, is it basically all the possible pushback is going to come in court fights? Because there's already no shortage of lawsuits that's been filed, and that's really is that the best recourse at this point?
Honestly, the two things we've got, we don't have majorities in the House or the Senate. The Senate has some rules where they can slow things down. For us, it's litigation and information, right? We have to put this information out so that other people can recirculate it on their social media to let them know that the grift that is going on. I mean, this is becoming an authoritarian kleptocracy, right, in what they're doing. It's a single person making all the decisions, even if they don't have the power to, even if the Constitution doesn't allow them. And they're doing it to grift, to steal this money so they can give it to a tax break for the wealthiest. That is what we really have to keep the most focused on. There's going to be other awful things he does to people who come to the border and other areas that we're also going to work on. But the big grift, the biggest grift in the world's history, will be if he can get a tax bill done through a reconciliation bill in April, which is his goal, by stealing money from the middle class and those aspiring to be in the middle class in programs like education and healthcare and housing and veterans benefits that he's going to otherwise steal and reallocate to the wealthy.
And the only way that's going to not happen is if you get, what is it, I think four Republican senators, and I forget how many in the House. And yet, on some of these votes for cabinet members, who, you know, a couple of them appear in no way, shape, or form to be qualified, you didn't get enough Republican votes were out there to provide some measure of hope that Republicans in the House or Senate will stand up to something, no matter how egregious that is. Is that too negative? Do you still feel like there can be a line at which enough Republicans in Congress will stand up and say, no, Mr. President, not this far?
Yeah, the 2025 chapter of Profiles in Courage for Republicans is going to be very thin. There's no question. But if enough people speak out, and that's our job as individuals, is we have to say, no, I don't want you to dismantling education so that, you know, my kid or my neighbor's kid or my family member's kid who needs special ed doesn't have that funding available anymore. My neighbor's a veteran and I don't want you touching his benefits. And by the way, keep your hands off my Social Security, my Medicare, my Medicaid. And when you have us doing that, they can't keep doing it. At some point, clearly Donald Trump is overreaching, but at what point is that breaking point? We have to move that timeline up to before April, because if we don't, they will do the biggest grift in the world's history, and it will be something very, very, very hard to untangle.
When we've talked about pushback, I'm leading up to what the Democratic Party can do, but let me stake with the litigation for a moment, because I saw a great Facebook post from Professor Jay Michelson from Harvard and Emory Universities, who wanted to make the record clear that it's not that people aren't doing anything. There have been lawsuits filed on behalf of the database invasion by Elon Musk, the USAID closure, the firing of the inspectors general, basically the existence of this so-called Department of Government Efficiency, which if it's an actual thing, it has to meet certain rules about public access. There's the 18 state attorneys general who have filed suit about immigrants' rights. The dismissal of civil service employees has been challenged in court. And there's also been a lawsuit to stop Trump's ban on trans people in the military. So there is pushback in court. Like you said, there are all these fronts that are happening. From a Democratic side, I've got a question here from Facebook. I would like to know more from Mark Bocan if the plan is to be more social media savvy now that Ken Martin has won the chairmanship seat. Right now, the funding calls coming from the DNC are pretty tone deaf. And I think not so much the calls, but my goodness, the text messages, the endless text messages. Talk to us about Ken Martin, the DNC leadership that is going to come from it. And what might we see differently from the Democratic Party overall?
Look, if we're banking on the DNC to save us, we've lost, right? I've never had a direct connection to the DNC because of the work they do. While it is in some ways important, it's not necessarily doing the work we need to have done right now. But members of Congress are certainly doing that. This week, a little later this week, we are starting lifting off our podcast so we can start getting longer form information out there, right? Every week now, we're doing a weekly update about what happened in Congress. We just need to have us get some of this information out, people to amplify that message so that we are calling Republican offices and making sure that this flooding the zone they're doing with bad ideas, that we're flooding the zone with our opinions on it so they understand that it's a problem. But it's on us, honestly. It's on me as an elected official. It's on us as individuals to amplify some of this. It is that public information pushback and the litigation. So these groups that are doing the lawsuits, support them. I put out last night on social media a link of a tracker of all the lawsuits that are out there. We all should follow that because we need to know what's happening. But litigation and communication are our strongest tools right now, and that's what I think we should all work on.
And that was the point in this post last night of, you know, give money to Public Citizen or to the ACLU or similar groups that maybe is not the place right now for that. You, by the way, your video updates, week in review type of content, it's in such plain English. And I would just recommend to everybody to follow Congressman Pocan on social media because your video explainers, I mean, you've been in Washington for a number of years, the legislature before that. You'd never know. You have not lost your ability to actually speak like a normal person.
Yeah, well, you know, I was a journalism major, and we're told to communicate at eighth grade level and explain it simply. And if I talk to you about intersectionality and a bunch of acronyms and a bunch of things that quite honestly get talked about here in Washington, we've lost again, right? So I'm not counting on the DNC. I'm not counting on Washington speak. It's right. If you can't pay your mortgage or your rent and you can't get groceries and you don't have health insurance for your family and you can't take a family vacation, we're not communicating with people, right? That is what matters. And, we missed a weekly update because I was back home. And honestly, we were everywhere. We did town hall with 300 to 400 people. We've done pressers. We're doing everything we can to get this information out there. But people just need to amplify it. And learn, like, you know, one of the things I think it's real important, the Lake and Riley Act, right? That's a lot on social media about we're allowing criminal immigrants to stay in the country. Bull. I mean, what right now you can deport a criminal who's an immigrant, right? Period. End of story. But this law said if you're even accused of a crime, which gets rid of due process, which is one of the foundations of the United States legal system. So unless you want to become an authoritarian country, you have to at least follow the laws we have. And I think the more we get that kind of information out there, it helps push back against the MAGA idiots. I put out a question this morning, what should we do about Elon Musk? And one of my answers was, I do whatever MAGA tells me. This morning, that actually was winning. People do that. Scary.
Congressman Pocan, thank you so much for staying on top of all this and for the visit. We appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thank you. Next time I'll figure out technology ahead of time.
Not to worry. Todd Alba, come up after this. You're up north. You found a real
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
This ain't Texas, ooh. Ain't no hold'em, hey. So lay our cards down, 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 down.
We were talking earlier about this as the anniversary of Beyonce becoming the all-time leading winner of Grammys, including more this week. Todd Alba is with us now of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show. You can catch that at noon today. Mr. Alba, how are you?
I'm well, Patrick. Hello, Greg. It's a beautiful morning here in Madison, a little overcast, but, you know, all in all. Did you watch the Grammys, Patrick?
I watched the first half of it. Then it got to be bedtime. But I enjoyed this year's Grammys more than I have in many years. I really liked a lot of the music, and I don't know if that's a comment on me or just on the music quality of the past year, but I thought it was a really good show.
Yeah, it was fun. My sister in Eau Claire and I, we live texted during. We thought next year or like for the next award show, we should just do this as like an after show on the show page or something like that. We were texting back and forth and we were commenting on many. We were very confused as 50 somethings now. Sometimes you're like, what the hell is going on here? And we're like, is it just us? But all in all, you know, it was entertaining. It was enjoyable. I like the dude, I can't remember his name. The dude who tore off his tuxedo and had sequins and like did a backflip off a piano and then grabbed his crotch at the end. That was my favorite.
I missed that part. I did see the backflip. What is it? Is it? Now I get to sound old again. His last name's Boone. Is it Brett Boone?
I think I
just saw he's coming to town, actually. Benson Boone.
Benson Boone, thank you. And yeah, I said yesterday I did not see that flip coming off the piano. Apparently he does do that. Anybody who's a fan knows he does it. But for all the first-timers like me, I'm like, hey, don't see that in every show, no. You know? And you might not if you land the wrong way. But it brings up this weighty question on the text line from Dave in New Berlin. Thoughts about why Toto is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Greg is raising his hand. You may go first, Mr. Bach.
Because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has always had this sort of like disdain for what would be referred to as arena or schlock rock. Rush was denied for many, many years. And I think now that Foreigner got in this year, I believe that Toto will probably be coming in the next few years because Toto is just undeniably good.
There you go. Todd, do you have thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I think any long-term fan of The Wizard of Oz knows what did he really do besides ride around in a basket the whole movie? I mean, I'm not sure he really deserves
to get all the fame. Todd, wrong Toto. It's a wrong Toto. It's wrong
Toto. I've actually been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You guys ever been there?
No.
And
no.
It's a super cool pyramid structure right on the banks of Lake Erie, and it's super cool. I can't say I'm a huge Toto fan, so I can't comment on their music. But I don't know. Good. I mean, it took Cher like 30 years or something, right?
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. I mean, Cher.
Well, yeah,
she should have been in the opening the inaugural class.
Cher,
30 years.
She would have. If she could turn back time, but anyway, let's put this conversation into perspective, because over the break, you were talking about how on CBS they were talking about all these terrible things, and it comes back to Gayle King, and she was just kind of like, in other news, the Grammys, and
pretty much,
I feel like every one of us who's trying to do their best in media is walking this fine line of giving enough attention to the serious stuff, but not going crazy that's all we talk about. But you also feel like the moment you stop talking about it, people go, oh, I guess it must not be that big of a problem if you're over here now talking about the Grammys. And so I feel like this whole 4 years is going to be me giving this disclaimer of, no, this is serious. Let's talk about the seriousness. Now let's draw a very clear line, because we can't be all work and no play.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarro stuff, right? And I think for those, I mean, people on the three of us were involved in various ways of trying to warn people, try to bring the truth to people before the election. As it turns out, people on both the far right and the far left chose not to believe some of those things. And we're at where we're at. And it's now, you turn on the news this morning, and it's unbelievable. And I mean, 5,000 people in the FBI are gone because they helped prosecute January 6th people. They're trying to shut down the entire Department of Education. They're getting rid of the Agency for International Development. Which one did I leave out here? I'm leaving one of them out. And and of course, Donald Trump decides overnight that he's going to just take over a sovereign place in the world and turn it into the Riviera of the Middle East. His words, not mine. And, and what do you do with that? And so I think you're absolutely right, Pat. I mean, we can't, I don't believe, I mean, I've literally struggled with this for the last 2 weeks, every day. I can't ignore these things because people are like, why aren't you talking about it? But on the other hand, I mean, you have to live your life, and you have to have some kind of humor and comedy, and you'll go mentally, crazy. It's not mental. I don't believe in all seriousness. It's not good for our mental health to dwell on this every day, because quite frankly, I think, I think Mark Pocan is a great guy, but, and I understand he has to always offer hope, but what are Democrats really going to do about this?
Yeah, I mean, again,
the time to do something about it was November 5th. I mean, you can protest, you can file lawsuits. Donald Trump is a master at the delay tactic in the lawsuit. So, okay, 2 years from now, we'll have a federal lawsuit about what's happening right now. By that time, we may or may not have had midterm elections.
Yeah. Boy, I can't wait for you to take over the helm of this program on Friday morning.
Anyways, the Oscars, am I right?
Well, and I wore my all white because it was a whiteout last night at the Kohl Center for the big game they won against Indiana.
Yes.
Whiteout also is the new slogan for Trump's foreign policy.
All right.
So we end where we began, with the NFL getting rid of the end racism banner for the Super Bowl. Todd Alba, again, thank you for filling in this Friday and next Friday while I run away to a beach someplace. I'll see you on the way back when I get back.
Of the Caribbean?
If I get back from the Caribbean.
Come on back.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much. And Greg Bach will be back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air.
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow here, State Senator Kristen Allfine and Representative Christian Phelps and Joe Zepecki. Thanks to today's guests, Mark Pocan and Jeff Wright. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Trump's executive orders and tariffs. What is that doing to Wisconsin farmers? Darren Von Ruden joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM, Bull Falls Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at Civic Media. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Administration officials are going to bat for President Trump after he proposed the U.S. take over Gaza, create a luxury resort area, and relocate Palestinians. National Security Advisor Mike Waltz tells CBS.
The fact that nobody has a realistic solution, and he puts some very bold, fresh, new ideas out on the table, I don't think should be criticized in any way.
An email sent to staff says almost all employees of the U.S. Agency for International Development, which distributes aid around the world, will be put on paid leave Friday as part of a consolidation plan. CBS's Sarah Cook.
The agency will consider case-by-case exceptions and return travel extensions based on personal or family hardship, mobility, or safety concerns.
CBS News has learned a report by federal investigators with the Capitol Police shows the number of investigations into threats against Congress and the Capitol surged to the second highest number on record last year. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.